we'll move forward. Now we talked about, Todd, do you call the control tower if he says to? And John talked about next thing, we'll progress into the letter of investigation. Notice an LOI. Now, I know this letter of investigation, some people call it a letter of intimidation. So our FAA friends didn't hear that, but let's talk about this letter a little bit. Let's talk about this letter in specifics. Let's say that you failed to follow air traffic instructions while you're here at Oshkosh. You failed to follow the instructions of a ground marshaler. And whether you talked to the tower, you didn't talk to the tower. Let's say about 3 weeks later you get home and you receive this letter in the mail, certified mail, return receipt requested from the FAA. Right there immediately, the intimidation factor starts going. You become defensive. What am I going to do? And now this letter is going to start out, "Dear pilot, personnel of this office are investigating an incident." They're investigating an incident, which is a key word, which occurred on August 1, whatever date it was, which says involves the operation of a Cherokee aircraft, airplane you may have been flying, November 1, 2, 3 at Whitman Field in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And then the next paragraph would go on to say what you did, that you taxied without receiving proper instruction from air traffic controller. And let's say there was an incident that arose out of this. You struck another vehicle, and then you continued to fly your airplane after striking the vehicle. Then the very last paragraph, if that isn't bad enough, it says, again, this letter has informed you that this matter is under investigation by the Federal Aviation Administration. Again, it's under investigation. Remember, the first paragraph says, sentence says we're investigating. Last paragraph we're investigating. And then it says, we would appreciate receipt, very nicely, we would appreciate receiving any evidence or statements you might care to make regarding this matter within 10 days of receipt of this letter. Okay, you're really feeling the pressure to go help with this investigation and move forward, and also defend yourself, exonerate yourself, and probably explain what happened. And then the next thing it says, any discussion or written statements furnished by you will be given consideration in our investigation. Oh, okay, I'm going to go again, tell it all, in hopes it's going to be given consideration. And then it says, the last sentence, if we do not hear from you within the specified time, our report will be processed without the benefit of your statement. So there again, as we had talked before, do you have to answer the letter of investigation? Okay. Let the Mustang go by. Okay, the question is, on this letter of investigation, do you have to respond to it? Do I hear yes or no? Or don't know? Okay, since we're here to get educated again, I want to start and preface it. There's no federal air regulation. There's no federal statute. There's no state statute that says you have to respond to it. So with that in mind, you know you do not have to respond. So the next area is should I respond, which really goes back into the same discussion we just had previously on do you call the tower or not call the tower. You've got the same dilemma. My recommendation is, and usually for a client, is go ahead and respond by saying I'm acknowledging receipt of the letter. And at this point, we don't have enough information to provide you an answer, but we do want to cooperate in every way we can. Thank you. You have responded. One reason, if you don't respond, I've seen some inspectors, in fact, they used to have a block, they may still have a block checking it's a non-compliant airman because he didn't respond to the letter. So that's one reason to respond. When I get them as an attorney, I want to respond because I do want to talk to the inspector and see if I can find out what the allegations are, the charges, see if it can be resolved. Sometimes we can resolve them with remedial training, which is a whole nother subject, but that works out very well where you enter an agreement with the FAA. You'll go fly with a flight instructor, get some training in a specific area, and then you report that you received the training, and then you receive a letter from the FAA called a letter of correction. You receive the training. It's been corrected by properly receiving the training. The letter of correction goes in your file in Oklahoma, and it's expunged in 2 years. And that will also work. So that's one reason I like to have a dialogue go with the inspector, because it's that. And also there may be extenuating circumstances where this is, as Mike said, it may be a minor violation or something that can be worked out. I've had inspectors talk to sometimes with an individual, and they'll end up with a warning letter. Obviously, if it's something really bad, that's when you've done this for a while, you can tell whether it's going to be something that's going to be a real problem. You're not able to work any of these things out, then it goes into the next step, which is the notice of proposed certificate action. Is there any other questions before we move on to the next area on the letter of investigation, Alan?
I just wanted to chime in quickly on this concept of responding to FAA inquiries. Whether we're talking about personal contact, request to call in, or the more formal letter investigation, it's kind of the same concept that we're talking about, is do you respond to the FAA or don't you, and how do you do that? And in the discussion that we've been having, it starts to take on the tone of some type of gamesmanship. And that's really not the concept. What I think we want you to understand is that the FAA officials, whether we're talking about FAA counsel or the investigators that are going about this process, are very experienced. They do this day in and day out. And they understand the operating parameters, the regulations that are at issue in these concerns better than you ever will. You have better things to be doing with your time than to be concentrating on the regulations and these types of issues. On top of that, when these situations arise, you are going to find yourself a little bit agitated, a little bit anxious, probably not in your best mode of thinking and analyzing things. And that's not the time to be having a serious discussion about something that could have dramatic implications on you. So whether you choose to respond or not respond, whether you get counsel or don't get counsel, the main thing that you want to do is you want to make sure that every step you take is well thought out and well measured. My personal recommendations fall somewhere in the middle of what's been talked about here. I think it's good to always demonstrate a compliant attitude with the FAA, a willingness to cooperate, but not to expose yourself. There's nothing wrong with saying to the FAA, I attended a forum at EAA or Venture, and the lawyers there said that it's not a good idea for me to respond to you. So as much as I'd like to talk to you, I'm going to take their advice. Or you can say, maybe you can tell me what your questions are, and I'll look into it and get back to you. But whatever it is, I think that the main concept is don't let yourself feel that you're trapped or get caught off guard, because nobody really wants you to be in that situation.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. I think that's also, you use the term gamesmanship, and that's something, I know nobody here would probably do that, or you wouldn't be at this forum, but we see it a lot of times where, especially a new pilot, they'll come in and come up with some kind of smart alecky answers, smart alecky responses. They try to hedge on what happened or really didn't happen. And, you know, I always have to remind them that the FAA inspector, he's a professional. He sees this day in and day out. The FAA attorneys, they're professionals. They see this day in and day out. And also, if we go to the NTSB judge with some, off-the-wall defense, he's probably heard it before and isn't going to be interested in hearing something that's really not serious. It's not on the point of the real issues. So we don't like encourage anybody to play those kind of games. And again, going back to the letter of investigation, any answer needs to be very brief. I mean, I have had more than once where somebody have received a letter of investigation. They'll come in and see me after they've responded, and then they see the notice of proposed certificate action comes out. And I've seen a number of people will write literally a 10-page response. And somebody writes a 10-page response. They've admitted anything and everything that ever happened, although they probably fill it with what I call excuses, which are not legal defenses at all. and it's going to be attached as the first exhibit when you go to the hearing, like John said, and they will use everything in there against you. But usually you don't get to trial because there's nowhere to go. You realize there's nowhere to go when somebody writes a 10-page response because they've locked themselves in. So you just work the best deal you can work at that point. Mike.
I'm going to ask you most of the questions. No. A misconception that a lot of people have, and it's a fairly easy misconception, not only among the person that may have committed a violation, but some less experienced attorneys, is they'll respond to the letter of investigation by saying, well, before I can respond, I want to see what evidence you have against me. Tell me your evidence. Now, there's something called the Freedom of Information Act. Freedom of Information Act specifically says that when a matter is under investigation, we don't have to share any of our evidence with you. It's not until the lawyers get it that we issue that notice of the proposed civic act that the investigation is formally completed and we can share that under the FOIA. So if you're going to respond to a letter of investigation by saying, well, I can't respond until I see what evidence you have against me, you're not going to get to see evidence at that point. That's federal law. We can't share that evidence while the matter is still under.
Oh, that is a very good point, Mike, because it's amazing how many people come in and they immediately, when you get the letter of investigation, want you to get in there and think that the FAA should provide all the information at that point. And it is under investigation, and they don't have to. And that's the same with any police agency. When something's under investigation, they're not going to provide you the information.
I think there's a question here.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have a question right here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. He isn't going to say it, or even if he, you know, he may or may not even know. It might be somebody's decision higher up also. John?
What was the question?
Oh, the question was, when you call ATC, can you ask the controller on the phone, is this incident within your discretion to let me go, or do you have to proceed with enforcement?